The message for today, the Lord spoke to my heart. I went into the book of Joshua, back where they were getting ready to go into the land of promise. They had wandered for years because of the doubt and the unbelief of others. See, the generation that wandered in the wilderness, the ones that took them there died. The ones who went there because there wasn't anywhere else for them to go lived to become a new people, to follow the direction that God was taking them. Some of us wandered in a wilderness for years because that's where the people took us. Hello? We didn't have any choice but to go because that's where we're being led to. And God let us go there for a purpose and a reason, and we wandered in that place because you know what? If you've ever wandered in a wilderness, a spiritual wilderness, and God begins to take you to a new place, you won't ever want to go back to where you wandered. And if you don't know what it's like to be in a wilderness and things get tough in the promised land, you'll want to go back. You say, well, maybe it would have been better to have done this. But God allowed his people to go through a place so that we remember what it was like and not want to go back no matter what it cost us to stay. They walked up to the edge of a land flowing with milk and honey that God said was theirs, and they looked in and they said, this is too difficult, this is too hard, we can't do this. We've never done this before. And God said, if that's your attitude, you can't go in. If your heart is still like that, you can't go in. So they went back out. God was with them, but they wandered. God never forsook them, but they wandered until the day came that the... Now, understand it like this. The day came that the people who had had no choice but to go there grew up. And when the ones that had no choice but to go there grew up, and the old ones died off, and the ones that grew up, they began to say, wait a minute, I remember a promise about a land that flows with milk and honey. I remember them talking about going to the edge and looking in and having to turn away and walk off and not getting it. They said, we remember that. And God began to grow them up. And as they grew up in that wilderness, they said, wait a minute. They begin to turn their face. They begin, I can see them. Can you allow me to imagine? Just when I can see them as they would walk, they would have to move from place to place in that wilderness. And as they moved, they looked in the direction where the promise was. And they said, one day God's going to turn this around and he's going to take us back to the edge of that place. And when we get back to the edge of that land this time, this generation will not turn back. When we get to the edge of that promise, we will not turn away from it. When we get up to the border and we see the giants and we see the width of the river and we see the walled cities, we will not turn around and we will not turn back, but we will go in and possess the promises. We will not come back to this wilderness. Though God has been with us, this is not his design and his plan for us. We're only here because a generation before couldn't take us to where we were going, but God is growing us up and raising us up to step into a place of promise that he has destined us for. And when we step into that, we will not turn around and we will not turn back. We will not fear the giants nor the walled cities. We will not be afraid of the land, but we will possess what God has destined and said was ours. And this generation has circled around and it has grown up. This generation has begun to grow up. We've had to grow up in the wilderness, but we came up in the wilderness with our eyes looking toward the promise and said, when the opportunity rises and God says go, we are going and we will not be turned back. We will not have that spirit. We will not have that doubt and that unbelief and that old spirit that the generation before had that caused them to die. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that. And I refuse to have it. Amen. Amen. I refuse to have it. But God's raised up a generation with a new spirit. One like Joshua and Caleb had that said, we are well able to possess this land. They are but, oh hallelujah, if God is with us, they will not be able to stand before us. We can possess all that God has said is ours. God is raising up a generation that will not go back, that will not turn around, that is destined by the power of His Spirit and through the promises of His Word to grow up to become the church of the last day that He has called us to be. He's that glorious church without spot or wrinkle, that church with authority, with power, with a destiny in it that will not be turned aside and turned around. A church that God has called forth to be filled with His Holy Spirit, whose sons and daughters shall prophesy, whose older men shall dream dreams, and the younger men shall see visions. God is raising up that church, and I am that church, and you are that church that God has raised us up to be. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We have stood on the edge before. I grew up walking on the other side of Jordan, looking into what could have been mine. But God has said, it's just been set aside waiting because I knew a generation would raise up. He set them in a wilderness. And He gave them His Word. And He gave them His Word. And He gave them His Word. And they began to look at it and go, wait a minute. God said, God said, God said, God said, if I'd walk uprightly before Him, God said, if I would obey His commandments, God said, He would be with me. Hallelujah. I've seen some of them. Listen, we've seen some raise up and command the sun to stand still so we could win a battle. Will He not give us all that He's promised if He'll do that? We've seen water come out of rocks and manna fall out of heaven. Oh, will our God not do everything that He has promised that He would do? Yes, He will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good. Hallelujah. God. I'm just a touch stirred this morning. You don't have to forgive me because I'm going to be stirred whether you forgive me or not. Hallelujah, because something's stirred in me. Hallelujah. And I can't be, God just won't let me be settled down anymore. I can't walk into the household of faith and be settled down anymore. I can't walk into the presence of the living God. Oh, now, yeah, there are times I'll be on my face and I'll be quiet and I'll be still, but I can't just come in and say, well, just another day in church. Oh, no, can't do it. Ain't going to happen. Won't happen. Can't let it happen. Because God has brought me to a place that I have been longing for all of my life. I've been growing up for such a time and such a day as this. A seed of the Word was planted in me, and it has begun to grow over the past few years that I've been raising up in the things of God. And now that it's come up to where it's at, it's my time. I will not back off of what God has said to me about my day and my time and the hour that I live in. And whatever walled city comes up, whatever giant steps in the way, I'm not bragging in me. I just know what my God said. Hallelujah. I'm reminded of this of the man David. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would raise himself up against the armies of the living God? David didn't say, he didn't say, who would raise himself up against me? He said, who would raise himself up against the armies of the living God? Who is this devil that thinks he's going to stop the church of the living God from becoming what God prophesied and said it would be? Who is the enemy that tries to afflict your soul to think that he can stop you from becoming what God destined you to be? If you won't give up and you won't turn around, God will do all in you that he has said that he would do, because he's not a man that he should lie. He's God, and what he says comes to pass. Hallelujah. So I'm just of the mind this morning. I'm just in the mindset this morning that I can stand up and say, oh, I trust the living God. I trust him. I believe that what he has said he would do, he's going to do. Now, come, as the old folks would say, come hell or high water, God is going to do whatever that he said that he would do. And it doesn't matter whether anybody else likes it or what. Come on. It don't matter whether the world likes it or whether the church likes it. God is going to do it. Because he said it. He said he called it to pass before it ever came. Before anybody could ever imagine or think about it, he had already had it in his mind. He's going to do it. And he's going to do it. Hallelujah. And I'm going to be in the middle of what he's doing. I will be in the middle of whatever he's doing. And we go everywhere we go, we're going to carry it with us. Because it's not about a building. Hallelujah. It's about a living organism. Hallelujah. And so every place we set our foot. Every place we set our foot. Now, some folks call it a takeover spirit. And I will receive that in a good light. Because if people are of mind to receive the Lord, and you go in with the presence of the Spirit of God on you, the Spirit of God's going to take over the place. Come on. I'm not talking about a controlling spirit. I'm talking about a leading spirit. That when he steps into the place, steps in with authority. That everything else has to back down and get out of the way and sit quietly. If it's not its time to leave, it has to sit quietly in the corner till you're done doing what God sent you to do. That when you step into a place with the word of the living God, that devils have to quiet down and people have to hear what thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what we're talking about. That we don't just come in to entertain. We don't come into this place just for entertainment. We don't come into this place just for a good song or just for some preaching that'll tickle your ears. We come in here to hear what thus saith the Lord, to get lifted up and encouraged and strengthened, to do what God has destined and called us to do, to meet with him and to fellowship with him, so that when we step out, we step out with authority. When we step out, we step out with power. When we step out, people go, where did they come from? And what is that? We've never heard anybody preach like this before. That's what they said of Jesus. If we go into a dead or dry place, if we go into a dead or a dry place, and we preach something they've heard and do something they did and leave them like we came, we have done no good. We haven't been Christ-like, because when Jesus went in, he shook things up. He stirred things up. He might have done it quietly or he might have done it loudly, but he did it with authority. And they go, we've not heard this before. Nobody's ever said it like this. Nobody's ever ministered like this. Nobody's ever done this. And so we have got to stay in fellowship. We've got to be more like him. That's why when he keeps saying, be more like him, be more like him. We've got to be turned into his nature, his image. We're being transformed into his likeness, so that when we step into the places that God is sending us, the reason this church is apostolic in its nature is because it's being sent. To be an apostle is not a title to tack beside your name for you to think you're somebody. And so I don't say this as an apostolic church because I intend to stick a title by my name. The nature of the church deems it as apostolic because apostolic means to be sent. And God is sending us with a message. Hallelujah, that everywhere we place our feet, we come in with a message that shakes things up, that turns things upside down, that refuses to let old traditional stuff that's stale and dry stay there with us in our presence. When we come into the authority and the power of the living God to speak the power, whether it's me ministering or you ministering, we come under the same anointing, the anointing that is in this place. We should walk in it and minister in it. And if you're not preaching, you ought to walk with it in your job, walk with it in your household, walk with it in the schools, and let the same anointing and authority that flows in the presence of God in this place flow with you wherever you go. Because we are who we are wherever we are. We need to stop thinking that we have to tone it down because we're not in church. That we have to set our values aside because we're not in a Christian environment. Come on now. We signed up for the full term. I don't want to make this sound political or loud or anything like that, but I believe we're doing the right thing in our nation for war. For this reason, you have a right to disagree with me if you want to. But the thing is this, if you don't go after the devil when he's in somebody else's house, guess whose house he's coming to next? And if it's okay, if you're going to set aside and let the devil swallow me up and not pray or not help me, then guess where he's coming next? But when you sign up, we have brave men and women who have laid down their lives and some that are facing those things now. But there's a few up there going, wait a minute. I signed up for the scholarship program. I got into this to get me some money for a further education. I didn't intend to be in war. Well, if you didn't intend to be in war, you should never have signed up for this. Because battles come with it. Difficulty comes with it. Bloodshed comes with it. Hurt comes with it. Pain comes with it. Loss comes with it, but the end result is a better place, a better environment, a place where you can know and feel the freedom and the liberty of the power of the presence of God. And if we do not fight, we will not gain the promises. And everybody would rather rejoice as fight. But sometimes fights you have, that's what you have to do. So we fought some battles. And we've come against some walled cities. And we've faced our share of giants. But let me tell you, we're not done yet. And occasionally we'll have to step over into somebody else's territory who's saying, help us. Come on. Because if we don't help them, guess what? They border where we live. And I don't want no devils living on my border. Amen. Much less in my house. Amen. If I could take my neighborhood for God, I will. Because I'd rather be surrounded by God's people any day as to have to hide in my house hoping they don't bother me. Come on now. You understand what I'm saying? We're being sent. We're being called out and sent with a purpose and with a mission. We've been raised up for this time. All of you who are, you have that call on your life. You've been sent by God for such a time as this. Amen. Amen. For such a time as this, we have been raised up. This is our hour. It's now. And so we've got to seize the day. We've got to seize the day and be the people that God has called us to be. Amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's why, you know what? Getting in shape for battle is hurts. You gotta lose the excess. Now, our warfare is different, so I'm going to revert to biblical times. True soldiers in biblical times, you didn't have any excess weight on you. Because that was a life and death thing. If you got weighted down with something you didn't need, it was life and death. Come on. Your armor was already something you were carrying. You didn't need any extra things to carry. So everything that wasn't necessary was done away with. And God is trimming us down for battle. Ever emotionally and spiritually fat thing. Now, don't anybody get offended, because we're all losing a little bit of weight, okay? You know, we've all delighted ourselves in the fatness of the things of God, and we've enjoyed the good blessings of the Lord. I'm talking spiritually. Every excessive thing has got God's trimmed it away and said, you don't need that. Because it'll just weight you. It's just something else to carry into battle that you don't need. It's just another vulnerable place that you don't need. You need to get rid of it. It needs to be done away with. It needs to be trimmed down. It needs to be gotten rid of. And God is working on us. And it hurts. But no pain, no gain. No pain, no gain. And God is working on us. Amen? He is. This is great. Isn't this good stuff? I mean, I don't even go, oh, God's working on me. God's working on me. Oh, no. Come on now. He's working on me. It's for my good. It's for my good. If he rebuked me, it's for my good. If he chastened me, it's for my good. It's for my... He's working for me, not against me. And all the things he's allowing to work are working together for good to me. And I thank him for it today. God is doing his work in us. Amen? Hallelujah. I thank the Lord for it this morning. I thank the Lord for it this morning. This is good stuff. This is good stuff, Ashley. This is good stuff today. God has given us an opportunity. He's met with us today. And it's still, his presence is here in this place. And I thank you for it. Are you prepared for battle? Read you one scripture. We're not done by any means with the service, but the Lord has preached his word in a different manner than what I had set up to do. But I do want to share this with you on the battle, because my thought was, are you ready for battle? And the Lord said, okay, let me show you. Let me show you the things that need to be done. And I'm just going to use one verse, and then we're going to sing some more and worship some more. And then we'll be dismissed at a later time. And the Lord brought this scripture to me. Now, if you didn't read it in other versions, it may have a different, it may come in a different rendering. But I heard it in the King James, and so this is the way it reads in the King James, but I drew a different thought out of it than maybe in the context you would normally draw. So I'm not trying to change the word, but the Lord brought my attention to something. In the book of Isaiah, verse 9. Yeah, if y'all want to... feel free to come on down. This has all been the message, so this is just tacking to the end of it. To be ready for battle, we've got to realize battle is not pleasant. There is no such thing. I mean, you know, in our day and time, they talk about push-button warfare. But you know what? Our weaponry has become so powerful, but even the places of sanctuary that you push the buttons from are not necessarily safe places anymore. You know? I mean, when Saddam was in his bunkers thinking that he was hid, I didn't realize, did anybody realize that we had bombs that actually buried into the ground, drilled into the ground when they hit? And would explode, I forget how many feet down into the ground they would drill. They actually, when the bomb came down, it drilled into the ground and then exploded. And they called it a bunker buster. And so in concrete bunkers buried down under the ground, we have bombs that can reach people. Not atomic bombs, just bombs that actually drill down into the ground and explode inside the bunkers. And you go, there's no safe place, even in push-button warfare. But the Lord brought this when I was dealing with me about the battle, and saying that's the reason you got to have on the whole armor of God, you got to have all of your weaponry in place. That the children of Israel, when they walked across after they wandered in the wilderness, walked across prepared for war. It said they were ready for battle. They were ready for war. But it said in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 5, this verse came to, just a section of this verse came to mind. It said, for every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and with garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. And what the Lord began to speak to me out of this is said, you know, God is not confused, but there's confusion in the noise of battle. That means there's a lot of noise. You have to listen closely in the times of battle. Said that every battle is with confused noise. That means there's all kinds of, you know, you've watched the war movies. None of us probably have been in war. I know Brother Bruce has been in Vietnam, and I don't know all of his experiences there. But I mean, you know, none of us maybe have ever been in a bombing, firefighting event that's taking place when it's exploding all around you. But you can imagine the noise that is taking place. And the confusion that if you don't keep your head on the battlefield, you'll lose your life. He said there's going to be garments rolled in blood. And he spoke of this particular one. And again, I'm pulling it, the context, if you read around, it is prophetic, speaking of Jesus and the battles and the judgments of the last days. But the Lord was speaking something to me in this. He said it's about garments rolled in blood. That means it hurts. If anybody ever seen The Passion, you realize that, you know, it's not just a little bit of blood when it comes to sacrificial battles that take place. And so his garments rolled in blood. And he said, and this one's going to be with burning and with fuel of fire. It's going to be intense. It's going to be hot. It's going to be loud. And it's going to hurt. Now, if you want to check out and withdraw, there's the door. But God said, if you're going to step into the battle, you want to know it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a battle. And it's going to be loud. And it's going to be hot. And at times, it's going to be confusing if you don't focus in and hear the voice of the Lord as He speaks. But we've got to be prepared for that. Are you prepared for battle? Hello? Are you prepared for wounded, hurting people? Are you prepared to be attacked? See, people think that if you leave them alone. Now, this has nothing to do with people. Okay, I'm going back to the analogy of the war that we're in right now. And there's a lot of people say, well, now if you just leave them alone, they would leave us alone. No, they won't. They hate us. They hurt us. They hate us because we serve a different God than they serve. Hello? They hate us because we have been blessed. T.D. Jakes said that they hate it because we have a remote control and air conditioning and we have cars with automatic transmission. He said they hate us for these things and they hate us everywhere in the world. Why? Because we as a nation have been blessed and the rest of the world hates the fact that we've been blessed. If you don't understand that, just let God bless you. People that you thought were your friends will not like you if God blesses you. They will rise up against you just because you got blessed. Let God do something. Let God call you to do something. They thought, who do you think you are? Yeah. Come on now. And you just do your best to be humble and follow the leading of God and step out and do the call that's on your life, and they'll ridicule you and say, who do you think you are that you can tell me what to do, or you got a word for me? Now come on. They'll hate you when God blesses you. Let Him bless you materially. And especially if you don't give them some of it, they really won't like you. And if you give them some of it, it won't be enough and they won't like you anyway. But they hate us. And if we don't fight the fight in their territory, the battle will come to our territory. They're already trying to get here. You know, the towers, the Pentagon, the other things, the other nations are feeling the effects of it. Right. And that's what the devil does. You see, the devil uses instruments of terror because he doesn't care about women or children. He doesn't care about innocent people. And he don't care how much you don't bother him. His purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. And if you sit back and hope he'll never come to your house, I got news for you. Your hoping is in vain. He will show up one day at your door. It may be later than sooner, but eventually he will show up at your door. And so you better gird yourself up. prepare yourself for the battle and be ready. And if God will direct you for the first strike if necessary. Come on now. Every battle is different. Sometimes the Lord has you wait, and sometimes He has you to go out. But you have to hear the voice of the Lord. But it's going to be loud, and it's going to be hot, and it's going to be intense. But we're going to win. When this thing is done, it'll be our flag that's standing over the fortification. When this thing is done, it's the banner of Jesus Christ that's going to be over the church. There is no place that you find in the Word of the Living God where when the battle is concluded, the flag of the enemy flies over God's territory. Everything that God said is His will be His. Everything that He has destined and set into His hands, and whosoever will be there with Him when He comes. Hallelujah. We're in this thing to win. And we win, we shall. Hallelujah. Because my God has never lost a battle. My God has never run. He's never had to flee from the enemy. He has never lost a battle. And so I follow Him. I follow Him. Amen. Hasn't God been good to you? Whew. God has been good to you. That wasn't the way I planned on presenting anything this morning, but God is in the place. And He's touched me this morning. I don't know about you, but He's touched me this morning. Amen. This has been good.